The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time once again for the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Here's your hosts, Alan and Robin Ellis.
Good morning, everybody. We're back. Alan Ellis here for the Outdoors and Radio Show. Robin's not here this morning, so I want to thank Eileen for sending me the definition of news as requested, N-E-W-S. She said it's the English word news, developed in the 14th century as a special use of the plural form of new in Middle English, W-E-S, like the French Nouvelles and the German N-E-U-E-S news. So thanks, Eileen, for that. It's sitting at my computer. So she was search engineing the term news, and that was the answer to the question. Also, I will tell you about my biggest fall fish and my second biggest one, too, after we talked to a few callers and our first one. Today, in this hour, is Frank in St. Michael's and then Lee in Towson. Good morning, Frank. How are you?
Good morning, my friend, and good morning
doing,
to you,
buddy?
Miss Robin, if you're listening.
I doubt it.
And talk about turkey hunting.
Okay, sure.
That tree you found.
Yes, sir.
I was sitting there, and just like a friend of yours said a couple years ago when he was on your show, call as little as possible.
Yeah.
You can hear them. They can hear you. So just once or twice, I let it go, and about 15 minutes later, I hear this crunching off to my right as I'm sitting at that tree, you know.
Yep.
Well, another tree had fallen on the other side of that deer trail that comes right past that tree you found.
Right.
And when the sun comes up, I get down on the ground.
Right.
Well, these turkeys had approached from behind me. I had put my decoy right there at the entrance of the woods.
Yeah.
So that the turkeys across the ravine
could see it,
silhouette of this turkey if they showed up, you know. But anyway, these turkeys showed up behind me. And this one hen got on the other side of this fallen tree, Alan, and I'm telling you, it couldn't have been more than 10 feet. And she's trying to get a stimulation out of my decoy, you know.
Right.
I mean, it was just so loud and so awesome. This hen was in my lap. And unless you're a turkey hunter, I guess you can't really appreciate that, but
I understand. Yep.
You know the sound that those plastic decoys make, you know?
Yeah.
Well, now all of a sudden I hear this tap, 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 tap. Apparently there was a gobbler behind me pecking on my decoy, but I couldn't turn around to get an eyeball on him. And this decoy wasn't more than 15 feet away, and I could hear that tapping and I knew what it was. But that was exciting. Never laid
eyes
on them, but they were that close.
That close and couldn't make the shot. Yeah.
Couldn't get my eyes on them. No. And I thought about it afterwards. If I'd have just put the gun up and spun around, there's a chance that that gobbler might have had his fan up.
Well, that's actually a good technique. It really is. You know, when you know they're that close, to spin around. I mean, you've got a shotgun, okay? To spin around, and if you can get focused on them fast enough, you may have an opportunity. That's definitely a technique when they're behind you. You know, because they're not like a deer. You know, they're a turkey. Like you said, if his fan was up and he was facing away from you, there's a possibility he wouldn't see you.
Yeah, I wish I'd have thought of that beforehand.
Well, now you know next time, right?
You wouldn't learn, that's right.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no, they're fun. There's no question they're fun. They just make me laugh.
It really is.
I mean, when they make me laugh, I don't get excited about turkey hunting. Guys get all jacked up. Oh, I had them coming, and, you know, then this happened, this happened. I've had so many of them snag up and turn away and run the other way and get shot out from under me up there sitting on that tree. The last time I was up there with you, I had one shot out from under me. I had them all morning, had them on the tree, had heard them fly down, had them coming, and he's coming up the ridge. I don't know what direction that would be. I guess if I'm sitting on a tree, it would be. I'd gotten on the ground to call him from a low profile, and it, coming up that ridge to my, I guess to the right there. You know, the creek is across the creek, and he flew down. I guess he came across the creek and was coming up that ridge, calling Goblin, answering me back, and all of a sudden, boom, and he never heard another sound. So I don't know who was down in there hiding, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's definitely a hot spot, Al. I mean,
it was fun. It was fun.
Yeah.
So, all right, buddy.
Well, hearing your voice, Al. Always listening.
Thanks, Frank. Appreciate it.
Hear yourself.
I'm glad you had a good turkey adventure.
Yeah, it was wonderful, really.
All right. Talk soon. Yeah. Thanks. Yep. See ya. All right. Lee and Towson. Morning, Lee. How you doing, bud?
Al, I'm doing good.
Hey, you guys had quite a week.
Yeah. Dude, that's only a couple of days. I wish I could have done that all week.
Yeah.
Hey, the ones I sent you last week with the kids with the snakehead and the hogfish.
Yeah.
He ventured across the over your side on the eastern shore, and another secret spot, I guess you could say, for the snakehead.
Sure.
But the Kayla took me and Eddie out, and what a hoot watching these two put the smoke on the snakeheads.
Yeah,
Eddie had one in particular that was probably he saw the fish under the lily pad.
Yeah,
and I've never seen with 80-pound test braid he uses. And he works this thing. He gets a thing like a walk the dog. I can't do it with a frog. He can do it. And
right.
It's amazing. And he tees this thing into finally striking his lure within 15 feet of the boat.
Oh.
Alan, it was so explosive. It was unbelievable. He's sitting there screaming for Kayla, get the net, get it in the net.
Yeah.
She could hardly get it in the net because for one, the things are so slimy.
Yeah.
And the thing was just in and out of the net. I'm watching this thing. I was trying to get video of that.
Right.
But, to say the least, the reason he uses 80-pound braid, the thing literally had the thing choked down its throat and
yeah.
The line was all frayed up from, he ties directly to the no leader. He uses a straight line, yellow.
Yeah.
For the visibility. But
I'm looking at the picture you sent me of that big fish, that big snakehead.
It was 33 inches, 13 pounds, 9 ounces.
That's a big dragon, buddy.
It was huge. So I hooked one. I was using my 30-pound test braid. Well, to say the least, I got a lesson that 30-pound test doesn't work. It ended up breaking my line.
Wow.
Which was the only strike I had. But you know what? The thrill of being with the kids and literally just kind of watching them fish and stuff was, that's all I needed for that particular fishing trip. I had so much fun just watching them get these fish and, you know, getting them up on the surface. It's just fun, not, you know, to do it yourself, but to, you know, to, as a spectator sport, and me being the spectator for sure.
Yep.
And the net boy. And the net boy here.
And then, oh, you got to be the net boy too. Well, that's even better. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing, Lee. If you're the net boy and you fail, man, you'll never live it down.
No, I think I've been asked to leave when I miss. You know, unfortunately, leaving is a long swim back to the pier.
That's for sure. Hey, we were out on the hot dog tuna fishing with butterfish, and I hooked a big, I hooked a bluefin, probably 50, 60 pounds. We never weighed it, but mm-hmm. it was a nice fish. And I held the rod the whole time. I was holding the rod like I was fishing for catfish when this thing struck the butterfish. And uh-huh. I fought that thing and fought that thing. I got it. First time I got it up to the surface, the mate threw the gaff at it and missed it, and the gaff went sliding up the line. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And that yeah. tuna sounded, and, you know, another 20-minute battle ensued, but he finally got it. But I'll tell you, I was never so mad at somebody in my life with it. Missed that tuna with the gaff, you know. First tuna I ever had, last tuna I ever caught, so.
Yeah.
But
that boy's an important person. I remember watch a prig with my father, and it was actually, probably some of the listeners know him, Ray Parker.
Uh-huh.
Watch a prig from Virginia back in the day, and the mate swung I don't know how long the thing was, like a 4-foot, wahoo over the side, and the captain had a fit because he didn't put the gaff into it.
Right.
But, and that boy's an important, or that girl.
Oh, yeah, either one.
In my daughter's case, netting Eddie's fish. But,
yeah.
You know, I tell you, the thrill of that was when we heading in, I sent you some pictures of the sunset, and just what an awesome day, though.
Oh, yeah.
To spend with family or, you know, friends or whatever.
That was
too much fun. I'm kind of hoping they invite me today.
Maybe they will. You never know.
Well, I always say, like, you know, I'll take you to breakfast and lunch, and I'll buy dinner.
Oh, sure. That's
and all that stuff.
Who wouldn't invite you?
Exactly.
Who wouldn't? So,
when it comes to the food and everything, that's important too.
Yeah. So Tackle Box Tim is working on a snakehead package for drawing one of these days.
I'm sure it'll be. I've caught a few fish on his chatterbaits.
Yeah.
So
I've got some
little package he sent me that one time, and they work.
Oh yeah.
They definitely work. So,
yeah. Do you put a trailer on them at all? Do you put a tube? I mean,
I put a little paddle tail.
Paddle tail?
Little rubber paddle tail. That's just to give it a little more buoyant.
Yeah.
If you run it straight without any rubber tail to it, you know, some people use pork line and whatnot, but putting a trailer to it, it keeps it up a little. It gives them a little more profile.
Sure. Sure.
Which is important. Now, the frogs and stuff like that is, I'll tell you one thing. Eddie, my son, is using all these goofy, like, pink and orange. And
oh, yeah.
Everybody thinks frog green, but goofy. You got the one picture with him with a pink frog.
I saw that. I think that's on the cover of Big Ass Fish.
The Big Ass Fish, the pink frog, And I funny, with the day we were fishing, I was with him when he caught that fish. I said, Eddie, they're not going to – come on, dude. You know, snakeheads are not – and just as soon as I said that pink frog ain't going to work, you know, the explosion.
Of course, yeah. Well, the rage all back in the day was the bubble gum plastic worm. You remember the pink plastic worm? You know?
Oh my gosh.
And who would have thought purple would work?
Oh my God! I remember all the goofy color rebel ringworms I had.
Oh yeah,
and the glitters and you know that stuff. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, well, just a real quick. I went. I don't know if you heard the name Jerry Saunders.
Yeah, I knew Jerry. Jerry worked at Bass Pro. He had I don't know how many fishing records.
I went to visit him yesterday.
Uh huh.
And he's in great spirits. He's at a retirement community.
Good.
But he was quite a mentor of mine and many other people
of
bass fishing, and he'd love to share information.
Yep.
And he would do that little bit there at Bass Pro Shop over the fish tank. So.
Yep, he was there when I was there. I was promotion manager for almost 5 years down there. Jerry was there.
Yeah.
So there were some good fishermen on that staff, you know.
He, you know, held three different. Maryland State record fish, and just a gentleman, just a sweetheart. I lived next door to him in Towson for many years, and the biggest thing was, do you have extra room in your freezer so I can put some fillets? But yeah. What a fisherman. I just, really, you know, a name from the past, but,
sure.
He's doing well.
Well, next time you see him, wish him the best.
Yep. Yep. He's a good friend. All right, Alan.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Lee.
Okay. Have
Take
a good
care,
one.
Buddy. All right. You too. Bye bye. There he goes. All right. I like talking to a lot of folks out there. Lee is just a wealth of information, that's for sure. So, but we do have to talk about our commercial sponsors, and we love talking about our sponsors. I'm going to talk about Clyde Sports Shop. You know, they are not only a hunting or a fishing shop, but they're also a hunting shop as well. And you know, people buy firearms year round, and they should, because they can. And Clyde's is a full-line Browning dealer. And for those of you into the shotgun sports, I'd like to talk to you about a Satori over and under Browning shotgun. Over and under, that means one barrel stacked on top of the other. This is one of the most reliable over and under shotguns in the world. The Hunter Grade 1 has a gloss finish metalwork and gold enhancement on the receiver. It's got a satin finish, Grade 1 American, a walnut stock with an inflex recoil pad, a silver bead front sight, and three flush choke tubes included. Now, what I mean by flush choke tubes is that when you screw the choke tube in to change the choke of the shotgun, you don't see the choke tube extending out of the barrel. That's the Grade 1. Then there's the 725 Sporting. All gauges feature the fiber optic bead, a gloss oil finish, checkered walnut, engraved low-profile steel receiver with a mechanical trigger. 12 and 20 gauge models also feature ported barrels and Invector DS choke tubes. For those of you who like the look and feel of an over and under shotgun, please consider the Satori. And they come in all different styles and models and price ranges for over and under, for upland hunting, for shotgun shooting sports like skeet and trap and sporting clays. The Satori Hunter from Clyde Sports Shop, the Browning Satori Hunter, is the one you need to look for. All right. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're just off Beltway exit number 9. Phone number there, 410-242-6108. They've been around since 1957. ClydeSports.com is the website, and they're open 7 days a week. Firearms, licenses, ammunition, gunsmithing, and scope mounting, all available at Clyde's Sports Shop. You'll be glad you did. Back to Backyard Billy's. Yep. We're going back to Backyard Billy's because we didn't see everything the first time we were there. We're going to go to the grill room. We're going to walk in the main show. We're going to walk in the main entrance past all those beautiful combinations of picnic tables and chairs and Adirondack chairs. We're going to walk right into the showroom. We're going to turn to the left, and we're going to take a look at the grills. We're going to look at the Big Green Egg, which is a great grill smoker. We're going to look at Kamado Joe, competitive but similar style of smoker, cooker, ceramic, big ceramic smoker grill. And then we're going to look at the Beale Street Stainless Steel Memphis Grill with the pellet mechanism and the onboard control that you can just, you set all your temperature, all your time, everything right there on the keypad. You can control it from your phone if you like. And you put your food in there, you smoke it, you grill it, whatever you want to do. And it keeps perfect temperature because it's programmed to do so. The Beale Street and then the Memphis Grill itself and all the stainless steel drawers and accessories that go with that. The grills where you can take out the stock grill and put in a custom grill to just grill your steaks directly on the fire. Beautiful, beautiful setup. And then we're going to take a look at the Traegers. The also pellet grill, black finished Traeger grill that you can control with your Bluetooth on your telephone, and you can set the temperature on that and let it go. Tremendous selection of grills. Behind the grills, you're going to walk back through. You're going to see all the fireplace inserts. You're going to see the Enviro and the Regency. You're going to see the freestanding wood stoves and pellet stoves. You're going to see the pellet inserts and the wood inserts all back on the left side of the showroom. And that's our tour for today. If you need any further assistance, one of the friendly staff will be more than glad and more than qualified to help you with your selection if you decide to own a new grill or fireplace or fireplace insert. Backyard Billy's and Hearth America at Backyard Billy's is the way to go. Visit BackyardBillies.com, the Hearth America Facebook page. Here's the phone number. Write it down, 410-827-4500. 827-4500. They're open 7 days a week. Route 50, exit 44, Graysonville, coming from the bridge. I like to take Route 18 through the little town of Graysonville, turn right on Evans Avenue, and then make that left to Backyard Billy's, and you'll be glad you did. 410-827-4500, BackyardBillies.com. Your backyard is going to look, and or your deck is going to look just great. We'll be right back.
Alan Ellis here for Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market. Whether you're a hunter, a crabber, angler, contractor, farmer, waterman, or weekend warrior, your Linex Bedliner with a lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, or any kind of tools. Have your Linex Bedliner installed at Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located off Ritchie Highway at 81 Dover Road. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-789-0199. That's 789-0199. Catonsville Linex is just off Security Boulevard on 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver, 410-455-0800, 455-0800. These Linex dealers can install tough truck gear accessories, tonneau covers, step bars, toolboxes, truck hitches, and more. And ask about the Linex fleet services. Do what I did and have Linex install your spray-on truck bed liner and truck gear today. Linex.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up to Laney Valley Road. Now, Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, Fisher's popcorn, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Madonna Seafood Restaurant is a full-service casual dining restaurant with all-you-can-eat crabs in a quiet atmosphere with an extensive menu. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, year-round crabs, 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. Madonna Seafood is open at 11 a.m. and closed Mondays. 410-557-CRAB, 2722, madonnaseafood.com.
Hey, if you know a lot about guns or not much but want to learn, Bel Air Gun Range provides a place to shoot, practice, and learn in a family-friendly environment. And you can make your selection from the showroom when you're ready to own a firearm. Now, at Bel Air Gun Range, the public indoor gun range is open 7 days a week with no membership fee required. Rental firearms are on hand. Bel Air Gun Range memberships are available to individuals, couples, and families on an annual basis. The gun range stocks handguns, rifles, and shotguns for shooting sports and competition, hunting, and home protection, ammunition too. And Bel Air Gun Range buys, consigns, sells, and transfers new and used firearms. Bel Air Gun Range offers personal firearms classes with an NRA-certified instructor. HQL courses can be taken in a group or virtually from the convenience of your home. For more details about Bel Air Gun Range, services, sales, and classes, stop by 2137 North Fountain Green Road in Bel Air, Maryland, or visit the website belairgunrange.com. The phone number is 410-399-9518. That's 399-9518. Be safe, shoot, and have fun at Bel Air Gun Range.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
Let's talk to Ronald in Baltimore. Good morning, Ronald. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Allen, sir. How you doing?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Wonderful. Just fine there and everything. Hey, Mr. Allen, my reason for calling, I know Miss Robin's birthday is Wednesday, maybe on the 13th.
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Yeah,
yep.
Tuesday. Uh-huh, right.
That's
and,
correct.
Wanted to say, you know, for that day, because I know next week is her birthday then, so, you know, Tuesday. And so I was just like, go ahead and put my happy birthday in for Miss Robin there.
Oh, good for you.
And say hello to you as well and everything.
All
and
right.
My reason for calling, my radio is down, so I didn't know I could still, you know, like, hear you from my radio, nothing like that. I thought I had to have my radio or something, so I didn't know to.
Oh, I got it.
My reason for calling.
I got it. Yeah, well, you can hear the conversation right through your telephone. That's great.
Yeah, I got it.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate that, because I ain't heard my head. No, I'm sitting up here, and I ain't got my radio or nothing, but I'm a good guy. He's going to give me one and everything there, you know.
That's good.
I don't know how it works. But
that's
I'm glad
good.
I feel I can get to hear y'all.
All right, Ron. That's great, buddy. That's great. Well, I will pass on your wishes to Miss Robin, your well wishes, and I'm sure she will appreciate that.
All right.
Okay.
Y'all be blessed. Take care, Mr. Allen.
Thank you,
Take
Ronald.
Care.
I appreciate Thank that. You, yes, sir, buddy. Take care now. There he goes, Ronald. So, the state record fall fish was broken on the north branch of the Potomac. Young man's name was Crosby Abe, A-B-E or A-B, I'm not sure how he pronounces it, 14 years old, 2.27-pound fish, May 29th. He was fishing on the north branch of Potomac River near Cumberland. Now, he used to catch a lot of fall fish. We carried worms and minnows. The fall fish would hit the worms primarily. We catch bluegills and, you know, channel catfish on the worms, but we were primarily after the smallmouth bass. And matter of fact, the biggest smallmouth we ever caught up there was my dad came along on a trip, and he caught one on a nightcrawler. He floated a nightcrawler underneath a tree root, and this giant smallmouth hit. Now, a 20-and-a-half-inch smallmouth, that's a 5-pound fish in the river any day. That was his biggest smallmouth that he ever caught, and he caught it on the north branch of Potomac River. I happened to be there that day, and he was proud as a peacock of that fish, for sure. My biggest one there was 18.5 inches, which is tied the record for my second largest, or my tied the record for my largest river fish from down in southwestern Virginia on the Cheat River, smallmouth bass. So anyway, that being said, the biggest smallmouth I ever caught, I was a kid. I must have been maybe 12 years old, 11, 12. We went out on a very cold spring day. I think it was March. It was so cold that the ice was freezing in the guides of our rods and reels, and I'm not even sure why we're out. I remember we were fishing on a stream, and I think we were fishing for catfish, but I'm not sure. I don't even know where we were, to be honest with you. But it was very cold. We were fishing, and I caught this fish, and I had no idea what it was. I found out later in life that it was a fall fish. It was 17 inches long, and I carried that thing home proudly and cleaned it. I thought it was a silver carp. I had no idea what I was talking about. But that was my biggest small fall fish. I caught another big fall fish, probably not quite that big, up at Dam 4 on the Potomac near Hagerstown. Not that many years ago, I was fishing with John Mullican from DNR, and we were fishing for walleyes, and I happened to catch not only a big fall fish, but a big sucker that day. And, you know, I'm a jerk on one end of a line waiting for a jerk on the other end of a line, so I don't care what I catch, you know, if it's a target species or not. As long as I'm catching fish, I'm happy. So, you know, John was surprised that I would take a photo of a sucker or a photo of a fall fish or a photo of anything like that, but glad to do it, you know. And so that's the story of my biggest fall fish, 17 inches. Nowhere near a record, of course, not anywhere near 19 or 20 inches or 19.5 like the state record, but it was memorable because that was the first big catfish or first big fall fish I'd ever caught and didn't even know what it was. So, but like I said, I was just a kid. The other thing I remember from my youth fishing in the Juniata River, where the Juniata and the Raystown branch came together there at Ardenheim. I think there's a park there now. I think it's a county park or state park there, where the two rivers converged. The dirty Juniata and the clean Raystown branch came together there, and we always called it the Point. And that was our That was our favorite, one of our favorite spots on the Juniata for fishing from the bank for smallmouth bass. We would catch every now and then we would catch a big chub that had little tubules on its head, little protrusions, and somebody identified it as a horny chub. And I looked it up, and of course that's the common name, the horn chub or horny chub, and they're a chub just like a fallfish is. They're a member of the minnow family. Fallfish, horny chubs. Many memorable days of my youth catching not only smallmouth bass, but like I said, jerk on one end of the line, waiting for a jerk on the other. I didn't care if it was a horny chub, a catfish, or whatever it was. I just loved to fish. So there you have stories from my not misspent youth, because a lot of it was spent fishing. All right, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. If you'd like to win some fish and tackle from High Tide Lures and Tackle Box Tim Sherman, it's a bass package for June, simply give us a call here at 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Name and number, give that to Aaron, and he will write that down, your first and last name and your phone number. And if somebody wins at the end of the month, we'll put you in the randomizer for picking a number. Every name gets a number, and Miss Robin will do that. We'll pick a name and contact Tackle Box Tim, and he will send that package of lures right out to you. How about that? Got an interesting picture from my buddy Tom. Sent a picture that he took down, and he explores the backwoods and the backwaters of northern Baltimore County there, or central Baltimore County around the city, and he finds much nature out there. He sent me a video of a Nexus Sphinx moth doing what it does. It looked like honeysuckle feeding on some blossoms, and he sends it out and says, "What kind of bug is this? What kind?" You know, and we do our best to try and identify it for him. He's got a group of people that he emails, and I was glad to be able to help him out with that one. If you've never seen one, he took a beautiful video of a Nexus Sphinx moth, beautiful black moth with the yellow bands around its abdomen to imitate a hornet or a wasp to keep predators away, and they act like a hummingbird. It's the craziest thing you ever want to see. If you ever decide to take a look, it's a Nessus, N-E-S-S-U-S, Sphinx moth. So, here we go. Nessus, N-E-S-S-U-S, Sphinx, like the Sphinx in Egypt moth. Cool-looking thing. 410, I love nature. You know, there's a pattern, there's an order to it. And everything you see out there, every different type of flower, every different type of insect, every different type of fish, every different type of ocean dweller, stream dweller, everything that dwells in the bottom of the streams, all the bugs, all the critters, there's an order to it. You know, that's what I love about the creation. Man can't do that. Man cannot create a blade of grass. We can take what the Creator has done and alter it and change it and in our eyes improve it, okay, in our little minds. And, you know, we can reproduce grass seed and plant it, but we cannot make a blade of grass. That's what I love. Why in the highest mountains are there wildflowers that nobody's ever going to see? Or in a meadow, why are the things out there that nobody is ever going to see? Beautiful flowers, Johnny jump ups and lady slippers and things like that that are out in the woods that no human is ever going to see. They come, they bloom, they die. Why? What's the point? I think it pleases the Creator. I think he just looks at this, you know, and just like he said, and he saw what he had done, and it was good. And he said, "This is good. I like what I've done here." You know, even to this day. Anyway, I'm being philosophical. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Love to hear from you at that number and get in the fishing contest, fishing lure contest, and we'll be more than glad to send out some lures. Now, Lee talked about chatterbaits. A chatterbait is kind of a modified spinnerbait. It's kind of hard to describe how it's put together, but it has a blade that wobbles back and forth, and it's got a tail, kind of like a spinnerbait, a plastic tail, but the blade, instead of spinning like a spinnerbait, wobbles back and forth as you pull it through the water, and it makes this little clicking noise as it goes through the water. Very attractive to bass, largemouth, smallmouth, other species, but extremely effective on snakeheads. And I know we've got some of those coming in the snakehead package. Buzzbait. A buzzbait is like a spinnerbait, only it has usually a two or three bladed propeller on a spinnerbait frame, similar to a spinnerbait, and the hook and the skirt, the plastic skirt, is on this frame, and it lies below the surface as the buzzbait skims along the top of the surface, and the propeller spins and makes this disturbance on the top of the water. And the buzzbait is also very attractive to largemouth and smallmouth bass and other species. I mean, you can catch, you know, northern pike and so forth on them, and whatever, you know. And they're attractive to the predatory snakehead as well, because they imitate something that they eat, although it looks nothing like what anything would eat. But the plastic skirt, as it opens and closes and vibrates, it forms a like a fish profile body, and the shimmering action of that skirt is attractive to the fish. It looks like something alive that it could possibly fit in its mouth and eat. So I'm looking forward to getting some fishing in this summer. I'll let you know what we do here pretty soon. I heard from our buddy at Jeff Pop, Captain Jeff Pop, listener to the show, Vista Ladyfish, has two boats. One follows the stripers, and the other one's out of Havre de Grace. He does catfish trips, and he's with us in the big ass fish. One of his photos made the cover of a lady with a big blue catfish up there in the Upper Bay, up in the Susquehanna area, and I talked to him a little bit about the catfish bite and so forth. So we just enjoy talking to everybody out there. We talked to Andy Benson the other day of Potomac Adventures. He said he's gotten some calls to take people bow fishing on the Potomac for the snakeheads and other invasive species on the Potomac area, up, you know, around Frederick County, Harpers Ferry area, up that way. So, you know, meeting the people that I've met in this new venture, this Big Ass Fish magazine, has been a lot of fun, so... And you talk to people at the restaurants, and you talk to people. I'm seeing that some of the biggest fish houses in Maryland are now offering full, you know, whole fish, whole snakeheads, as well as the fillets, you know, for not only snakeheads but blue catfish as well. And I read you earlier the issue that's trying to be resolved in the Farm Bill this year in Congress with the restrictive federal regulations on catfish. And so, you know, we're making progress along those ways. So anyway, let's see. All right. 410 WCBM 680. Well, thank you. I appreciate that text there, young lady. And so Sharon sent me a nice text. So, Pete in Parkville. Let's talk to Pete. Good morning, Pete. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Good morning, sir. Let me ask you, what's the best way to clean snakeheads? I've never caught one thus far, but do you treat them like a catfish? You know, like take the head on a board or something, and
well, you clean it like any other fish. They're just a little hard to grip because they have an excessive amount of slime. So I would get a pair of fish gloves or fish.
I got you.
A lot of people now are going to the electric fillet knives to clean them because they're pretty good-sized fish. Depends on, you know, I mean, they can be 14, 15 inches if you want to catch one like that and bring it home and eat it.
Right.
They're very delicious, but you get a fish in the mid-20s into the 30s. I think Rapala makes a fish cleaning board with a clamp on the end. Or you can create your own fish cleaning board.
Right.
You can clamp the fish, the head down, and use that electric knife and just fillet it like any other fish, like you would fillet a rockfish or anything else.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah. All and right. Then, you just take the skin off with your fillet knife, and you've got two beautiful fillets. And I will say that every time we talk about cleaning fish, I'm going to keep repeating the same thing. Over and over and over again. Take the fat off the fish. That's where the fishy fish taste is, and that's where any toxins, potential toxins, would be is in the fatty flesh. And
right,
in the fatty
right.
flesh, that's the belly fat.
Right,
that is
gotcha.
The fat around the top fins, around every fin. There's a little pocket of fat. And then in particular, some people call it the bloodline. It's actually the lateral line. That's where the fish sense, get their sense of hearing, get their sense of, touch, is on that lateral line, which runs down the center of the body.
Sure.
And that, on both sides of that, you'll see dark flesh.
Right. Great. Great. Well, good to know.
Anything that looks darker than the normal flesh and discard it.
Right.
And then you've got two fillets on each side that are fat free and taste like the fish is supposed to taste.
Great. Great. Well,
deal?
Excellent.
All right.
I thank you very much, Alan. You have a great rest of the day.
Appreciate the question.
All right.
Yep. Thank you, buddy. So, our buddy Lee just texted me and said, absolutely electric fillet knife. Absolutely. Battery operated. Electric fillet knife. Yep. All right. Let's see. John, let's see. What did he say? Snakehead originated from Asia. Yes. Did we call them snakeheads here in the United States? That's our thing. I think that's the name that these things were traded in the pet trade. People raised these in their aquariums. I remember back in the late 90s, early 2000s, when I was managing a store in East Baltimore, guys were coming in and buying minnows, bull minnows, to feed their snakehead fish in their aquariums. And they said how vicious they were and how aggressive they were at the time. So if they want to have a market for people to eat those things, call them snakehead, they might not have been such a good idea. Well, that was what they were called, Southeast Asia. I guess that was the translation, and that's what they've always been called. There's several varieties of them. The ones we have here are called the northern snakehead. There are giant snakehead. There are four or five different varieties of them in Southeast Asia. And John says if in Asia they call them something different, maybe we should call them the same thing as they call them in Asia, unless the meaning is also snakehead in Asia. Well, that's a challenge. That is a challenge. I mean, they've become recognized as snakehead, but I know there are restaurants that won't serve them because of the name. I know there are people that won't eat them because of the name, just because of the name, not because of anything else. You know, I mean, who would have thought that people would eat a horse mackerel? Okay. A horse mackerel. What's a horse mackerel? Does anybody know? Yeah, I know, Lee. Lee calls him Chesapeake Grouper. Captain Dunn calls him Chanagars. So, I don't know. We should probably come up with some way to figure out a name for him. But if we figure out the name, then who's going to use it? Is it really going to be widely used? I don't know. We'll see. That's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. But they are good to eat, I will tell you that. I've got two nice fillets off of two nice snakeheads in the freezer right now. Ryan Morris, that wrote a book on fishing for snakeheads out of a kayak, he lives here in Easton, or works here in Easton, and he said he wants to get me out snakehead fishing. I don't know if two people can fit on a kayak or not, but I doubt it. But we'll see. He wants to get me out snakehead fishing, and he gave me a couple nice fillets that I'm looking forward to. Probably going to eat part of those this week. We'll see what happens. Anyway, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. Please, let's get this last break in. And while we do that, I want to tell you about our friends right across the street here, just about across the street, at Spurry's Tire Service. Yep, was in there yesterday, talked to Brent Jr. What a great shop. I'm telling you, they take care of as many people as possible in the shortest amount of time as possible. And they do an excellent job. They've got a staff that knows what they're doing. They've got the mechanics in there that know automotive repair, but they're specializing in tires, of course. And if any tire, hey, I got a guy walked in, hey, I got a slow leak in my tire. Can you take a look at it? He was out of there in 10 minutes. Gone. Fixed. Gone. Lady was pricing tires. There was a fellow that had missized tires on his four-wheel drive. And they were able to help him out with a rubbing problem. He had to get tires, but, you know, you can't rub the rubber off your tires if you put the wrong size on your vehicle. Apparently, he'd got the tires somewhere else, and they were causing a rubbing noise for him. So they were checking that out and taking care of that problem. Felt a nice couple in there getting an oil change, you know. Another young lady, he said, I'm gonna take a look at your car now, and I'm gonna see what's going on with it. She left the showroom. She never came back. So apparently she was satisfied with the answer, whatever it was. So just a busy, busy place, and people just walking all over the place, and love it. So here's the commercial. Spurry's Tire Service, located at the corner of Dover and Elliott Roads, just off Route 50, Dover Road, Elliott Road intersection. That's where the locals get their tires and their auto service work done. They feature American-made Bridgestone and Firestone tires, and I'm running Firestones on the truck, and I love them, as well as Michelin and Yokohama. Spurry's Tire Service has the tires for your car, your truck, any make, any model. Spurry's Tire Service has any tire for any machine in your backyard or your barnyard, from your garden tractor to your farm tractor and anything in between. Yeah, that's right. Your lawnmower, your wheelbarrow, they got it all. Tire repair, full-service automotive repair, including checking, diagnosing, and repairing your vehicle when that check engine light comes on. No question about it. 24-hour truck service and more has kept Spurry's customers, including me, satisfied for 30 years or more. Stop by with no appointment needed for tires and call Spurry's Tire Service in Easton at phone number 410-822-7384. Hit their website, spurriestire.com. No appointment needed for tires. Just walk in. If they have them, they'll put them on. 410-822-7384 for Spurry's Tire Service. And we'll be right back.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. Battery Warehouse, convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
All right, one more time for Backyard Billy's. When you stop by Backyard Billy's, exit, what's the exit number? 44, Graysonville. Yeah, 44, exit 44, Graysonville, Route 50. You will, when you pull into the shop and park, you're going to be parked in amongst a bunch of sheds. And as you walk from the parking lot up the walkway across the little bridge into the shop, you're going to see chicken coops. You're going to see dog kennels. You're going to see a pergola. You're going to see a gazebo. You're going to see sheds, all kinds of sheds, including that really cool half shed, half greenhouse. You're going to see greenhouses. You're going to see chicken coops. You're going to see hundreds, literally hundreds of Adirondack chairs. Some of them rock. Some of them swivel. Some of them have crabs on them. Some of them have fish on. Very cool looking stuff. All in the beautiful poly wood. Easy to clean. Easy to keep clean. You know, and then you'll go onto the main lot there and you'll see just dozens of picnic tables in dozens of configurations, whether it's octagon, hexagon, square, circular, you name it, they've got a giant selection in all imaginable colors, chairs to match, seats to match. When you walk in the door, you can go to the right and go through the front big furniture area there. You can go to the left and see where the grills are, see where the fireplaces and stoves are. You can see all that at Backyard Billy's and Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. Big Green Egg, Traeger, Kamado Joe Grills, Memphis Grills, Enviro and Regency fireplaces and inserts. Why not take a look at it? Backyard Billy's just a spectacular place to go and browse. I love it every time I go there. BackyardBilly's.com, 410-827-4500. 410-827-4500, open 7 days a week, Route 50, exit 44, Graysonville. Take a look. Your backyard's going to look just great. Hit that website, see everything they've got. You'll be amazed. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit number 9. Anything you need for fishing, anything you need for hunting, guns, ammo, rods and reels, crabbing equipment, live bait, frozen bait, live minnows, all the terminal tackle, all the lures for any type of fish in the Chesapeake Bay or the rivers or the tidal rivers or freshwater, you name it, Clyde Sports Shop has it. They've been around since 1957. They're established. We're proud to have them as a sponsor. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Check it out. Handguns, rifles, shotguns, you name it. Map Modern Sporting Rifles, knives, binoculars, rifle scopes, all the accessories. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108. ClydeSports.com is the website. Make sure you stop by. You'll be glad you did. All right, we'll be right back.
Alan Ellis here for Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market. Whether you're a hunter, crabber, angler, contractor, farmer, waterman, or weekend warrior, your Linex bedliner with a lifetime warranty